It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Inside Leverage, your gateway to the fascinating realm of the Miami Dolphins. Join us as we delve deep into the team's dynamic Super Bowl journey. We invite you to share your most scorching takes, unwind, and relish in our captivating experience. Tonga
Bailoa, blocked by Armstead. Going, he's got him! He's got him!
I'm excited like you, Chad. I'm excited, man.
Hey, hold on. Before you get too excited, we got our guests is here. Alf Arteaga from 3 yards for carry.
I'll get a room, bro.
Yes, sir. What's going on, Alf?
Nothing much, man. I get Ruben Blades as an intro. That's pretty. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. You know, you're like a legend out in these streets out here, man. So listen, man. Hey, welcome to the show. I appreciate you. I know it's the first time me and you speak personally. So it's
thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I don't know if we need much of an introduction, but just give a quick rundown for those who don't know who you are.
Well, I do the 3 yards per carry podcast along with my two co-hosts, Simon Clancy and Chris Kaufman. We've been doing it for 7 years now. It's the most listened to independent Dolphins podcast in the market. And we have a Discord that's also pretty popular. And if you want to become a member of the Discord, you could get to it right there, right under my name right there, where it says Alf Arteaga at 3 yards per carry, discord.gg/OnlyFins. You could become a member there for $3 a month.
Yes, sir. Make sure everybody is watching out there. Make sure you do that support, my man, Alf. Guys, go around the room. The floor is yours.
Alf, what's going on, man? I listened in to you guys' reactions to the draft grades last night. Great episode on the pod. Very informative. What are your thoughts, if you could share for everyone else on this draft class? What were your takeaways from it all? Like, what was your major takeaway from this draft class?
Well, if you want to listen to our podcast from last night, I would suggest you listen to like the first 12 minutes and then fast forward to the next like 38 and then listen to the second half of the show. And you're going to think we had a great a great draft class. I like the draft class overall. Okay, I thought they, man, it was hard to redeem yourself, in my opinion, after the second round pick. But man, what a great day three. It was like they hit every single erogenous zone for everybody in that second, in that third day. It was just one hit after another. And you know, when they beat you at your own game, at your, on your own podcast, then that's doing something. Because I was, if you guys listened to the preview show, I was saying, look, they got to trade a third round pick from 2025 to get into the fourth round to take Mo Kamara. Well, they didn't even need to do that. They did it to get Jalen Wright, and then they got Mo Kamara anyway.
Correct.
So when you speak it, and then they beat you on what you were talking about, then they're doing a pretty damn good job. Look, we can argue everything, but in the end, we just don't know. Patrick Paul could be great. He could be Jonathan Ogden, okay, as far as we know. All we know is what we see on tape, and it's not good. But other than that, man, it was a great draft, and I think it's going to help him. I know some people are saying, oh, this is a draft for 2025. No, I think Jalen Wright's going to play a lot, okay? And if you noticed the last couple of years, Raheem Mostert hasn't finished seasons. And, you know, they played the biggest game of the year against the Buffalo Bills with essentially one running back. And, you know, this offense is not meant to play with one running back. All right. I think Chop Robinson is going to start the season, you know, coming off the edge. Even when everybody is healthy, he has a speed element that's going to help guys on the inside and help our three techs get home. So I think he's going to do well. And I really do believe this, and I said this on the pod last night. I think they replaced Andrew Van Ginkel with Mo Kamara, and I think he's going to have a similar impact. He's a guy that's going to play snaps, and his snaps will be impactful.
Alf, what's going on, my brother? This friendship.
Yeah, man.
I've been on the trenches. I've been talking about the dogs.
Wow.
Can we talk about what this team? Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Wally.
You talked about the dogs, too? You talked about the dogs too. Wow.
Let them land, Wally. Let them land.
I remember last season when I was fighting for my life, and I told him Christian Wilkins was going to have more sacks. Zach Stewart would have more sacks than Christian Wilkins. But what I'll say to that, what I'm trying to ask Alf is, have we done enough to solidify some of the trenches? Have we done enough to ask some dogs? I know the one name that we keep mentioning out there, Calais Campbell. Have we done enough with what you've seen to kind of solidify the trenches, add some young dogs, some true dogs?
You know what? If they have some money left over, because I still think that they need a boundary wide receiver, so they're a little light there. And I like to see them add another guard, probably Van Roten. But if they have something left over, I don't know how you can't go after Calais Campbell. I put out this set of numbers last year, on OnlyFans, and they're numbers from last year. And if you compare them, Zach Seeler had a monster year last year. Okay.
My guy.
All right. He had 20. Let me see if I have him. I have it correctly. He had 27 quarterback pressures, 9 quarterback hits. Okay. Calais Campbell had 24 quarterback pressures, 10 quarterback hits. So they have very, very similar seasons. Calais Campbell is 1,000 years old, and he's still a really, really productive guy. And you know he's going to give you, and you know he's going to give you leadership, and you know he's going to, you know, he's going to take ownership of that room. So, man, if they have something left over and he wants to play for less than his rate, sure. But, you know, I don't hold out hope for that, because I think Calais likes his money, and he deserves his money. He's still a productive player. He could help a championship team. So, you know, if they have the money, that'd be awesome. I like to see him finish his career here in Miami. But I think that they're going to quickly run out of money once they pay a boundary wide receiver and another guard.
As far as a boundary wide receiver, anybody that's on the radar that we should be aware of, outside of obviously some of the other names that we've heard about?
No, it's the one big name, man. It's Odell Beckham. I think he's the best fit. And I understand Tyler Boyd's probably the better player right now, but the numbers are clear. They have a lot of slot receivers right now.
Right.
Tyler Boyd's slot share last year was 76%. Odell Beckham's slot share last year was 12.6%. So that tells you what they're best at. Odell Beckham can play on the outside, and he's going to help Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill get free on the inside, and Malik Washington as well. So I like the I would go after Odell Beckham, and it seems like it hasn't happened yet. So I'm thinking he's waiting for some of that June 1st money, but money does run out. They got to pay all these draft picks, and you know, you want to get a little bit of you. They still need a safety, so you want some safety help, and you want some guard help, and maybe you want to explore Calais Campbell. And then you need a boundary wide receiver. Man, that's a lot of mouths to feed. So, you know, I think that's the tightest one. I think Odell Beckham is probably the tightest one, because if he starts holding you up for money, you're going to just have to say goodbye.
Right. You got to move on. Right. Wally, you got some?
Listen, man, appreciate you for your time, Al. I saw when you were tweeting about that, like what you had to do to get back in the fourth and. It was surprising because I tweeted it out right after you said that. I'm like, listen, this is the only chance we have. And I think Jalen Wright, like on his own, he's gonna probably have the similar productivity that Achane had for us next season. And we're hearing that he's gonna get more of an extensive package of catching the ball. So, what are your feelings about the productivity of the weapons you got, the Malik Washington, the Taj Washington, and Jalen Wright for this upcoming season?
Oh, I'm pretty happy with it. And, yeah, you know, Jalen Wright's a guy that if you watch his film, man, he presses the hole and fills the void as good or better than any of the running backs in the entire class. That's going to make for a really good inside zone back. We already know he has the speed to play on the outside, you know, to run to the outside. He's good in pass pro. He's physical. You know he could hit home runs. And if you see some of his long runs, you see how he extends his stride on the defense. Like he gets away from people. So, you know, I don't think it's crazy to think that we're going to have three guys have 40-yard touchdown runs next year in Mostert, Achane, and Jalen Wright. I absolutely love the pick. And he's going to help save some of you know, the legs from Raheem Mostert, who's essentially finished two seasons in a row on the sideline. I understand he played in that Kansas City game, but that wasn't Mostert. That was Mostert at about 70%, you know. And then when you get to Malik Washington, he's so mature in his game, okay? First of all, he comes with very good endorsements, okay? When Steve Smith Sr. is singing your praises, you know you're coming in with a pretty good resume. But if you watch him play, he plays with a maturity and a toughness. And I've heard some people, oh, he's small. Well, he's not really small. He's 195 pounds at 5'8 and a half. Like, you know, this is a physical guy. And you could see him breaking tackles, okay? I believe he broke 35 tackles his last season at Virginia. So, and that's to go with 110 catches. You know, everybody just assumes that Braxton Berrios is going to make the team. I think he's in some danger, to be honest with you, you know? Especially if they sign Beckham. They sign Beckham, then you're talking about a plethora of inside guys and then a couple of outside guys, because Craig Kraft could play everywhere. You know, I would say that Berrios is probably in danger and Malik Washington is probably going to supplant him. I think that's a home run pick. Most people had him in the third round. And to get to the last one, Taj Washington, he could be anything, okay? But we do know he could return kicks, he could return punts. So that's, you know, that gives you an added bonus. His tape is also good as far as yak and route running, you know, and he played with Caleb Williams. So, you know, he played with, you know, a pretty, you know, a big time quarterback. So he understands, you know, what they're trying to accomplish and, you know, what kind of route, you know, route running is required, because they expanded a playbook for a top prospect like Caleb. So I'd be interested to see how he performs. You know, he's probably a guy that you're going to store for a year on the practice squad, you know, but Malik Washington, I expect to play. That's a fact.
Yeah. Also just thinking about you just brought up the, you know, kickoff returns and all that with the new kickoff rules that opens up a whole nother, you know, somebody with that kind of speed, it's going to be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, let me ask you, you were, alluding to the fact that we, Beckham Berrios' position on this team may not be safe. What are we thinking as far as if we're bringing in Odell Beckham? You drafted two wide receivers. You have Craig Kraft, Berrios, Eazy-E already in the fold. And then on the offensive line, you brought in a Patrick Paul. You have about five tackles that probably might make the roster somehow, right? I don't know what they're going to do with Keon Smith. What do you think that they're going to do with the numbers, especially if they're talking about adding veterans at wide receiver and possibly at interior alignment? How do you think the numbers shake out as far as how many tackles and wide receivers and guards we keep?
Well, I think guards last year they kept five, and then they stored a sixth, which was Hines, and I'm sure I'm missing another one that they had. So last year they kept six. They played five, right? Tackles last year they were actually thinner at tackle last year. I think they had four, and they dressed three, and then sometimes they were dressing four when Armstead was healthy. So this year, you know, just expect one guy to get pushed down one spot. So, you know, I would say Lester Cotton is probably in danger at guard. And, you know, I'd hate to say that Keon Smith is in danger, but maybe Ryan Hayden is in danger. But, you know, they got practice squad spots that they could save. I think they're going to dress Patrick Paul all season so they could get him experience. He could travel with the team, you know, and maybe get him some experience in some of these blowouts that the Dolphins tend to engineer, you know. So I would caution against just dumping, you know, Keon Smith, because there's something there. And who knows, maybe there's plans for him to play guard. Maybe that's something that they're thinking, you know. But I do like what they have right now. I just think that they're missing one more guy, you know. Greg Van Roten, I think, would be a pretty good fit for them.
Do you think in that case that Liam becomes the backup center more so in that?
I think he's probably the starting right guard right now. I think he's going to get pushed by Robert Jones and Jack Driscoll. But I think the plan is probably to have him become the backup center, backup guard at left and right guard, because he could play all three positions. But I think he starts as of right now. I think he's the starting right guard as of right now.
I don't think there's a very good reaction to that, Alf, right now.
well, Alf, let me ask you about that, because one of the things we talked about in the draft is when we seen a BB on a board, or we seen Satale. You know, one of the things everyone was saying is, you know, after the draft we could add a Reisner, we could add some of these other guys. To me, to me, that right guard position isn't good enough. I mean, Robert Jones played. What was it, Robert Jones? He played pretty good. But you know, when you talk about like Liam, I mean, it's almost like Diet Coke. When I want a Coke, give me a Coke. Don't give me a Diet Coke. You know what I mean? If you want a Coke and somebody give you a Diet Coke, you're going to immediately be like, whoa, I understand, but it's not what I asked for.
So what if you've never had Coke and all you used to is Diet Coke? You know?
Listen, the thing about it is, we've had the old Coke. We had the old Coke.
We had Coke in
the glass bottle, baby.
Yeah. Coke Zero is not bad.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, hey. You know what? Shout out to Coca-Cola if you're listening.
Man, Coke Zero tastes like flat soda with bubbles.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Listen.
Nah, man. I ain't going to lie to you, man.
I'll give you a better analogy. If you're eating pizza, some Chinese food, You're eating that starch. You need that good carbonation. You want that flavor to get you, that Diet Coke don't quite do it. So I mean, when you talk about some money possibly being out there, maybe even after June, like to me, that's the one position I'm not going to be settled with until we get it settled with a guy, and maybe Robert Jones is the backup. And then Liam, you know what I mean? That needs to, because I'll be the first one to say this, and this is what Wally is saying, catching the wide net. I got to be open to the fact that Liam could get better, because if we say we believe in the coaches and the coaching staff, guys get better. AJ got better. So, listen, oh my goodness. If they can make Liam better, like,
I think he has gotten better, to be honest with you.
I mean, but is it good
enough? Bro, come on. We're not going to cap out as far as his potential. Like, I'm not relying on Liam Eichenberg over the course of 17
years. I trust Butch Berry and all that and all that. I'm all in. You feel me? I'm all in with the team. But listen, yo, you got to go get somebody else at least to give him competition. You got to give me a name. And if he beats out of a Reisner or a Perrin, whatever, like that, I understand.
Right.
But like that, just like, yo, we walking into the season. And look, maybe the bad his drafting and the history behind the player is giving us a bias, because he was actually the best position that the man played was right guard. But man, oh man, it is a hard sell.
My biggest pushback is this, right? Barry came out and said that the Dolphins have been in contact with several interior offensive linemen that they were prospectively looking to sign if they didn't get one in the draft. If you don't do that to me, I feel lied to. I feel cheated because Mahogany was on the board. These guys were on the board in the sixth round. We're like, we didn't get one. You're going to tell me now we're just going to ride with the Liam train without any type of addition or – like, for me, I feel like that's malpractice because you came out and said it. I had been privy to the fact that Liam could possibly be there. You look at the money, you know what I mean? They like him. He's been here a while on the rookie deal. I could see it, right? But when you come out and put it out there that you could be looking to add something to the fold, I think you set an expectation there. And for me, once that expectation has been set, now I'm not comfortable because why? You know what I mean? We got all this money coming from Xavier Howard, like, I mean, at that point, I would need a Justin Simmons or something to concede.
Yeah, I will say this: if you guys want to have a little fun, watch the Finns Raiders game from this past year, and watch Greg Van Roten at right guard, and watch his work against Christian Wilkins in that game. I think he comes in, but I think him and Dalton Risner, those are guys that the only way you get them, and if you get them on a reduced rate, like let's say 1 year, $3 million, is if you promise them a starting spot. Okay. Greg Van Roten, watch his work against the Dolphins. He can play. And I think that's a guy that would take over at right guard. One thing I will say about Christian Mahogany, I was absolutely shocked. Okay. When he just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. And I talked to somebody that, you know, is privy to some of the stuff that was going on. And we do know that Christian Mahogany had some issues in 2022. He had a knee issue. Turns out he was measured at the, he was measured at the combine, and the leg where he had his knee issue is 1.5 inches shorter than his left leg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then I responded, this is the best one-legged guard in the history of football then. Because man, I know what I was watching, you know. I understand, you know, I'm joking, but – and I understand, look, man, you know, you got a knee issue and your leg is one leg shorter than the other. You know, this is no longer college where you could just, you know, you could beat up on people that are inferior to you. You know, this is the NFL. Everybody's on your level. So maybe he doesn't have a long career, but this is a really good player at BC, man. And that he goes in the sixth round is just crazy to me. It really is.
He went when they took the safety. And we had this kid right there. I ain't gonna lie to you. Everybody, I was like, that's a reach. And with all due respect to the safety, we looked at the game tape and he it merits the draft, right? The draft pick. But that Mahogany right there, just sitting right there, like even if he has one leg, he's one leg better than Liam. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, Cohen, Matt Lee was still there too. Like there were options. So like for me, like you passed on those guys, you set the expectation that you're gonna do something.
Yeah. To piggyback what I said, like if you passed out on Mahogany, I bet that means you already have a hush hush deal with somebody because you just passed up control for cheap. Nah.
Yeah, and Chris Greer kind of talked about what happened with Patrick McMorris was, you know, essentially his scouting staff and his coaching staff, like they had one guy picked out, and he gave him that pick to use, you know? Now, you can tell what they were doing. Like, you can tell what they're doing. That, like, you know, they targeted Jalen Wright, like that was their guy, right? And then when they came around and Mo Kamara was on the board, you could tell that was, like, their BPA. Like, man, we just got to take this guy. So then Mac McDaniel had to get his guy, and that was Malik Washington.
And you the saw scouting the staff from that, yeah.
And then the scouting staff has to get their guy, and that was Patrick McMorris. And then all they had left was, okay, we got a seventh round pick. Let's just take the best guy on our board. And it was Taj Washington, you know. But yeah, I don't understand what was going on there. I also saw Matt Lee play an entire season. That dude could play center, man. Like, I think that had Miami used the draft pick on him, there's your backup center right away. You know,
a potential starter, Look, bro, I would have taken any offensive lineman that was available from UM, Cohen or Matt Lee.
Either one is. I like Cohen a lot because he's really heavy-handed. But Matt Lee, I think would have been our backup center. Yes. You know, I don't think he takes over. I don't think he wins the job because, look, you paid Aaron Brewer 3 years, $21 million.
But in 2 years, you shot him for free.
Yeah, in 2 years, you need to save a couple of bucks, and you like what you've seen from Matt Lee for 2 years. He's the new center, you know?
I don't know, bro. I look, it's, you have to take it with a grain of salt. You have to respect it. You have to understand that Butch Barry believes in his abilities or whatnot, and just the every point you guys have made. But man, oh man.
Yeah, and sometimes you just got to look at a player and say, man, is he good at football? Can he play? You know, and I really do believe this. You know, it's stupid that Mo Kamara, if he was just 6'4", would be a second round pick. So what? He has to grow 3 inches. Like that's the problem, because he has everything else. Because I know that Alan Pupar was talking about, oh, you know, he has that demeanor. You know, he has that dog. You know, he's Brian, like Brian Cox.
Exactly.
You got to remember. Yeah. Okay. He has all of that, but you got to remember what Brian Cox was coming out of Northern Illinois. He was not a great athlete. He was slow. Like he ran like
he was stiff. I remember that.
Pause.
You know?
Crazy pause. That's so crazy.
You know, he was a dog. He was a dog, but he wasn't a great athlete. This dude, Mo Kamara, runs under 4.6. Okay. At 250 pounds. Like this guy's smoking out there.
That's crazy. Right?
You know? So really, I really do believe that. If he was 6'4", that would have been a second round pick. And when you never know. You never know if somebody says, you know what? He's worth the 31st pick or whatever in the first round. Because that dude don't stop. I don't know if you watched him play. That Colorado game, I fell in love. When I saw that second game this season, I was like, that dude decided to declare war on Colorado. Not only am I going to get 2 sacks, I'm going to get 5 tackles. I'm going to get 3 of them behind the line of scrimmage. I'm going to get 2 tackles for losses. And then I'm going to take Shedeur Sanders out of the game myself.
Dude, that guy, you people are watching that game as like, yo, man, you know what I'm saying, Colorado, Deion Sanders. And you start the game, oh, Colorado, Deion Sanders. And you end the game like a Colorado State fan because of the Hoker, the wide receiver, and Kamara. You're like, yo, these guys are laying it all on the field. And I'm so glad we got one of them because I would have been mad had we not gotten one of them. I would have been mad.
Yeah, Hoker went as a UDFA somewhere, or is he still out there?
Did he get? I think
I want to say he went as a UDFA.
I'll tell you right now. Hold on. Let me look him up while you guys talk here.
That kid was making
One of the things I think about when I look at this draft is I feel like we're resetting the core foundation of this team with younger guys because, you know, to me, with Wilkins leaving, it's the end of an era. Wilkins represented the era. So, right now, the era that we're in is Tua, Waddle, and Javon Holland and Jalen Phillips. And these guys got to get us over the hump. And this is the senior class. You know, this is the senior class. You know, these guys getting ready to get their diploma, get their contract. So, you know, with that happening, you know, you got a freshman class coming in of guys that also want to make their name on the team, want to fit in amongst the seniors, possibly want to sit at the lunch table with the seniors if you're good enough. So, you know, I say that specifically to say when you talk about some of these young guys coming in, you know, and making their name on this team, you know, when we talk about the division, when you talk about beating a Jets team, when you talk about Tua, you know, coming in, you know, Tua's never lost to the Patriots. Tua's, you know, has a very good record against the Jets, and we don't have a good record against the Bills, but that's something that I'm sure that these guys, you know, when they get in the locker room and these guys get talking about winning the division, and these guys, you know, when you come into a situation like this, you almost like you inherit the beef. You know, so they know what it is with Buffalo, and you know, how good is it to be at the senior table and you're the freshman and you help knock off one of the seniors from the other school? You know, that's how you get prestige around the organization. You know what I mean? So can you kind of talk to that and kind of this young foundation and what that can, you know, mean, like these freshmen possibly going into the sophomore year?
Yeah, I like what I like the core of this team. These are good players, man, and they're good people too. Like, you know, you go to camp and you talk to these guys, like, you could tell that these are serious people. Like, there's no clowns on this team. There really isn't. All right, you know, and the guys that they get are all other serious people. Even their draft picks, man. Listen to Chop Robinson talk. Listen to Mo Camara talk. Listen to Malik Washington talk. Malik Washington plays. He plays and he talks like he's a 12-year vet already. Like, watch his interview with Steve Smith Sr. That's a really, really good interview because they talk ball and you could tell, you know, there's a maturity there. There's, you know, there's like a seasoning there with Malik Washington. You know, the team that they're turning over is basically built on all of these draft picks, and they keep supplanting them with free agent pickups to, like, fill in the holes. You know, I like what they've done. You know, it's just about, man, they got to have that breakthrough. And that breakthrough has to come against Buffalo. And yeah, the way it's going to happen is the way it happened in the 90s, man. Like, I'm old enough to remember when Miami kept butting up against the Bills every single year. And one day, it was a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and they beat the Bills. They beat the brakes off the Bills, like 37-10. That was a game exactly that Lewis Oliver – yep. Lewis Oliver had the three interceptions, and one of them went 100 yards.
108 yards. I remember that.
Yeah. Now, of course, what happened that year? They won the division, and they hosted the AFC Championship game. And the Bills came in here and beat them.
Right.
You know, so that's me, awful. But they need a breakthrough. Yeah. You know what I mean? They need a breakthrough. Like, the team has to see it first. They have to see it happen. You know, maybe that breakthrough comes when they beat Buffalo in Buffalo this year. You know, but they need that breakthrough. Because the talent's there, man. The talent's good.
I mean, it's like a video game. You know, you get to that level every year. You get to that level every part of the game, and you got to get through it. You got to push the – and this is the thing. You know, when you beat them, you got to have to beat them again. You beat them to win the division, you're going to have to play them again in the playoffs like they play us, and you're going to have to whoop their butt again. And you got to – that just has to be the core. But when you get these guys that – understand the moment, you know what I mean, whether it's the veteran guys, because Tua got to get over the hump, Javon Holland and Waddle got to get over the hump, this happened on they watch too, so you know what I mean, Tyree got to get over the hump, Mike McDaniel got to get over the hump. So I just feel like with the guys we got now, man, I feel like the sense of urgency, the seriousness of the guys, kind of what you're saying, hey man, it's We got the preparation. I like it.
One thing I will say, if you watched did you guys watch Hard Knocks this yep. past year with the Dolphins?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Mike McDaniel likes to coach via confidence. Like, he likes to you know, he likes to gas up his team. He likes to
build them up. Yeah, yeah.
He likes to build them up, and you could just see it before the Cowboy game when he was standing behind his captain, and he goes, "Captains," and the captains come up in front of him. It was Tua. It was X. And it was Tyreek, right? I think those were the three captains for that game. And they were standing in front of him, and he was like, "Man, look at our studs. These are our studs. Yep. These are our captains. You know, look, you know, that's what's going to go out for the coin toss. The other team is going to see this when they come out to the coin toss." That's kind of how he coaches. I think that the team also feels that way. And you don't think that the team, once they got to Buffalo and they got to Kansas City, and they're looking around like, "Okay, I don't see none of these studs anymore, man. They're all gone."
Yep. Yep, that's right.
You know,
that
it's different.
Have an effect. Yeah.
It has an effect on you. Like yeah. he sells them on, like, look what we got behind us. Look at all of this, you know.
But listen, as far as Dalton Holker, he signed as a UDFA with the Saints. I looked that up, and I want to interrupt you guys with all that. So that's a little nugget. But talking about, listen, and I guess if you got time for like one or two more questions.
No, I got time until you guys go because the show is supposed to be on. I think that they're gonna do it tomorrow, so I could be here for the duration. I got nothing else to do.
All right, cool, man. So listen, speaking of UDFAs, are there any names from the list of guys that we picked up that stick out or you think really have a chance to stick with the team?
I really got to study that list. I haven't gotten a good look at it. You know, I know that quarterback, have you seen him throw the football? Mm-mm. Like, it's crazy that Hardiman. Like, man, I was telling CK on OnlyFans, we're kicking the crap out of whoever we play in the third preseason game. Because that dude throwing a Malik Washington and Taj Washington, like, they're going to hang 40 on whoever they play. That kid has a gun, you know. But now I gotta study the list a little bit better, you know, because I didn't recognize a couple of those guys.
Alf, you segued into my next point, 40 points. Can you talk? One of the key factors.
Here we go.
Yes, I'm going there. One of the key factors I want. We disrespect the not we, not everybody think they French. Some people disrespect the special teams coach. Can you talk about special teams and what some of these guys contributing to? I mean, and I'm talking about the guys fighting to make the roster and just that cream of the crop and. You know what I mean? Just overall better talent for that unit, because when you talk about, you know, what we've gotten the last couple of years, it really hasn't given us, you know, much. But can you talk about kind of that unit and, you know what I mean, maybe some guys that, you know, I don't know. What do you think about that unit?
Yeah, look, the last couple of years, the offensive and defensive coaches have been essentially stealing players from Danny Crossman because they've needed them because they've had so many injuries. This year, Danny Crossman started in the year with some dedicated special teams players, so it should be a little bit different than it's been the last couple of years. There's also a lot of bad luck. Look at the punt return against Buffalo, you know?
Yeah.
You have Cameron Good filling, you know, perfectly fine. He blows out his knee, and because he blows out his knee, he slows down and cuts off Justin Bethel, and that opens up the lane for the guy to score, you know? Cameron Good probably should have not been there. He should have been probably rushing maybe R5 or L5, L6 on the outside. He shouldn't be up on the wedge. And they had Justin Bethel up on the wedge, and Justin Bethel should probably on the outside as well. But sometimes on that punt team, who you have filling there is Andrew Van Ginkle. But Andrew Van Ginkle left the game earlier because he also hurt his foot. So you see how we're it's – and then Duke Riley's starting. So – you know, we're stealing players from the core special teams units, and it's hurting the special teams. Hopefully it's different this year because, look, now they added some good two-way players. Anthony Walker can play. Anthony Walker was the special teams captain for the Browns. So they added Anthony Walker, who's going to play in the rotation and special teams. Now you have Duke Riley, who could be dedicated special teams, and he's a backup. All right? So, you know.
And then they added Anthony Brown. From Buffalo.
Yeah, Saran Neal is a guy who's also going to play. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, it should be different this year. They got more dedicated special teams players than they had the last couple of years. And like I said, you know, the last couple of years, man, they would take one injury, two injuries, three injuries. Now they're stealing players from Danny Crossman.
Danny Crossman's out there.
Yeah, and he's out there. Like, you know,
there's another linebacker we added. The Giants.
Yeah, I think his name is Anthony Brown or something like that.
Yeah.
He's also another dedicated special teams player. You know, so you know it's going to be different because, like I said, the last 2 years, you had Danny Crossman just running around patching holes all over the place. You can't, and you can tell that they probably kept him because, like, look, we're not going to fire you because we know what we've done to you for the last 2 years.
You know? Yeah.
Like you can't fire me. Say, hey, man, your special team sucks, and you're like, well, you took away all my players. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, right. I would expect things to be a little bit different.